Good morning. Today we are studying in Precept Bible Study, and we're studying from Roland Springs Baptist Church, and we're studying from Paul's writing of 1 Corinthians, excuse me, and today we're in lesson number 8. As always, we begin in prayer, so let us pray. Heavenly Father, just open up our understanding as we are studying in your word today, and give us the knowledge and the wisdom through the Holy Spirit that we may understand and know you more, Father, that you may use us for your honor and your glory. We give you the praise and honor for all of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, as we begin this study, we want to review a little bit about the previous chapters. First of all, we see at this study why Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian saints. At first, he heard about them, and that was in 1 Corinthians 1 through 6. And then in chapter 7 through 16, they wrote to Paul. And so what did they write about? And which chapters are in each segment? Chapter 7 is marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Chapters 8 through 10 is about things sacrificed. Chapter 11 is about traditions. And chapter 12 through 14 is about spiritual gifts. And chapter 15 is about the gospel and the resurrection. And chapter 16 is about the collection for the saints. Now, this is chapter 7 through 16, which is the second segment of the book of Corinthians. We know that in the first six chapters, it was about what Paul had heard about these Corinthians at Corinth in the church there. So what were the main points of 1 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 that we studied in our last study? We remember that it's about knowledge without love puffs up and it makes one arrogant. And we also learned that all believers should know there's no such thing as idols or other gods. And love builds up all brothers, even weak ones. Now, Paul didn't use his liberties or his rights so as to cause anyone to stumble. And his focus then on chapter 8 was on the weak brothers and the fellow brothers. And then chapter 9, Paul's focus was on himself. And then next, we noticed that his focus was on winning the lost. His desire to offer the gospel to the lost and win some. Now, how did chapter 9 end? Paul exercised self-control. He disciplined his body so that he wouldn't be disqualified as he preached to others and led them to salvation. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians today in chapter 5. And we'll start with the first five verses. And I will read these. This is about the Old Testament examples. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. So, looking at these verses, we learn who these people are, or who they were. They were the people of Israel, and they were God's people. So what happened is explained in these verses. God led them in a pillar of cloud, and they're the ones that walked on dry ground as they passed through the Red Sea. And God fed them with manna from heaven and gave them water from a rock in the wilderness. Also, God was not well pleased with most of them and overthrew them in the wilderness. He killed them because they failed the test. They were unapproved. They were disqualified. What was the test? That they believed God. So they did not believe him, and it was because of their unbelief that they died. Now, let's look at some cross reference. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. And I'm reading these by faith, now by faith, in the substance. Okay, let me start over. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. So, we see here that the men of old gained approval by God because of their faith. Let's look at verse 6 in Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then also another cross reference is in Jude 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those that did not believe. So here we see that it is by faith that we are saved and not by ourselves. And even in the Old Testament, we see that the people had to have faith to believe, the same as we do in the New Testament. Now let's go on in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 through 14. Now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become adulterers as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation also will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So, what did it show in these verses? What did they do that showed that they were really believers? Let me get this right. What did it show in these verses that they were not really believers? We see that some were adulterers, some were immoral, some tested the Lord, and some grumbled against him. So we're looking back at 1 Corinthians, and these are the things that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. The so-called brother was immoral. The one that called himself a believer, yet he wasn't a true believer because he was immoral. And they were in the midst of an adulterous society. Remember when we started studying in Corinthians, we learned that the city of Corinth was a very evil, sinful, adulterous nation. And most of them had been adulterers even before being saved. And there were quarrels among them. Now, in 1 Corinthians 10:7 and Exodus 32, and I'm not going to read Exodus 32, but we see here that they made a golden calf in chapter 32 of Exodus, and they worshiped it. And 3,000 people died because of their worship to a calf, an idol. And then in Numbers 25, we see that immorality resulted in Israel's camp because they joined Moab in idol worship of Baal of Peor. And death also was the result. Now, 1 Corinthians says 23,000 fell in one day, while Numbers 25 says 24,000 were killed by the plague. Numbers didn't say how long it took for the 24,000 to die, but the numbers is not the point. It's the action of God against those who disobeyed the matter, the seriousness of their actions. Now let's look at some scripture in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. And I will read these. Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you want to write this down, read along with me. Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 11. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Gergerites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall have no covenant with them or show mercy for them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter or your sons to them, nor your daughter for their son, for they will turn your sons away from following you to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Verse 5, but thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. And listen to verse 6, for you are a holy people of the Lord God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you or choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the people. So in these verses, we see that the Lord warned Israel before they entered the promised land that they were to not to participate in the worship of the nations around them. Adultery. Destruction would be the result of it, and Israel was to totally destroy all remains of idols and those who worship them. Now we'll look at some more cross reference in the book. Let me finish. I read through verse 7. I want to go on and read 8 through 11 in Deuteronomy. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out of a mighty land, out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. And he will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. So here we see that the Lord God is speaking to his people, his chosen people, and he is telling them that Israel would be destroyed if they followed these idols and worshiped them. So we'll go on and look at some more cross reference, showing that God is serious about worshiping idols. Let's look at Numbers, verses 1 through 9, and I'll read these. And if you want to write these down, write them down so that you can go back later maybe and run reference on these verses. I'm starting with Numbers 21, verse 1. The king of Arad the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road of Athram. And then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Hormah. And then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery servants among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed to the Lord. And here we see that he began to pray to the Lord. And in these verses, we're seeing that God is serious about worshiping him and not worshiping idols. This tells us that when the people spoke against God, that he sent these fiery serpents to kill them. Now, let's also look at another scripture. Let's see if I can find this. Let me finish this chapter. I mean, this verse is in Numbers, verses 8 and 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone, excuse me, who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, this is a foreshadow. He put that on a pole, and when they looked on it, they were saved from death by being bitten. This is a foreshadow showing of Christ going to the cross and dying for our sins. And all that believe upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is just a foreshadow of what happens when we believe upon the Lord Jesus. Now, let's go to the New Testament and look at a cross reference here in John. If you want to write this down, it's John 3, verses 14 through 16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there we see that the people sinned by speaking against God, and he judged them by sending the serpents to kill them. But in his mercy, he told Moses to make this bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And the bitten person that healed it, that looked on it, was to be healed and live and not die. So here we read in John 3 that Jesus was lifted up on the cross because of man's sin. And whoever looks on him and believes in him is given life instead of death. Now then, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 10. We're going back to chapter 10, verses 15 through 22. And I'll read these verses, and then we'll discuss them. What are the main points then we want to look at in these verses? And I'm starting reading chapter 10, verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Verse 18, observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an altar is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Now, the main points that we see in these verses, Paul returned to the main subject about eating things, food that was sacrificed and offered to idols. And his first statement is for believers to judge what he says. They should have determined that it's good to flee from adultery. And believers share with each other the cup of blessings representing Christ's blood and the bread representing his body. This is what we have as our communion. And according to the law, Israel's priest ate the sacrifices brought to the Lord's altar. And Paul pointed out that idols are nothing and things sacrificed to them are nothing. But to the Gentiles who worship those idols, they have a demonic element. So one cannot drink of the Lord's cup and that of demons and cannot be a worshiper of God and of idols. It's impossible. The Lord is a jealous God. It's better to flee from adultery than to be tempted by it. Now, let's go forward in chapter 10 and look at verses 23 through 30. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the market, meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Now, Paul is saying that all things are lawful, but not profitable. All things edify or build up. So, Paul made this same statement back in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, verse 12, before he commanded them to flee from immorality. And he also taught that love edifies or builds up, and that was in chapter 8, verse 1. So here he's saying, eat anything sold at the meat market without asking questions. He says that if an unbeliever invites a believer to eat, you're to eat without asking questions. And if you are informed or told that the meat was sacrificed to idols, don't eat for the sake of the former's conscience. For their sake, you're not to eat it because you know that it was sacrifice to idols because they told you that it was. But if you didn't know, then your conscience wouldn't speak to you. So this is what Paul is saying in these verses. Now let's finish up our lesson today with verses 31 and 33. Verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So, what then is Paul saying in this closing statement? He's saying to do all for God's glory. And don't offend Jews, Greeks, or the church. And don't seek one's own profit, but that many will be saved. Instead of wondering how not to offend everyone around, focus on pleasing and glorifying the God, the only God, the Lord Jesus. Believers have the mind of Christ and God's wisdom in His Holy Spirit. So, what is Paul warning these Corinthians here in the church, these believers, what were the warnings in this chapter was he pointing out? There are four things that he told them that they should be very careful. And first of all, he said, take heed about temptation. And then second, he said, flee from adultery. And third, he said, do all for God's glory. And fourth, he said, don't offend, not to defend others. But going back to the third thing, do everything for God's glory. So that finishes our study today. And we will close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to you again, praising you, thanking you for your precious word. And Father, we just want to please you. We want to follow the teachings that through the Holy Spirit you gave to these great men like Paul to write it down for us today, to live by, to follow you, that we, Father, may please you. And I just pray we will go forward and tell others about Jesus. And if there's anyone listening today that has not believed and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that your word, through your Holy Spirit, will convict and draw many to you that they may receive Jesus this day. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.